He's dead,
said a gaunt old woman coming down the steps.
It doesn't work. We call the super, ask him when he going to fix, when he going to mend the heating. He does not care. Goes to Arizona for the winter, for his chest.
Her accent was thick, Eastern European, Shadow guessed. Wednesday bowed low.
Zoria, my dear, may I say how unutterably beautiful you look. A radiant creature. You have not aged.
The old woman glared at him.
He don't want to see you. I don't want to see you neither. You're bad news.
That's because I don't come if it isn't important.
The woman sniffed. She carried an empty string shopping bag and wore an old red coat, buttoned up to her chin, and perched on her gray hair a green velvet hat that was, in appearance, a little bit flower pot, a little bit bread loaf. She looked at Shadow suspiciously.
Who is the big man? Another one of your murderers?
You do me a deep disservice, good lady. This gentleman is called Shadow. He is working for me, yes, but on your behalf. Shadow, may I introduce you to the lovely Miss Zoria Vetchernyaya?
Good to meet you.
Bird-like, the old woman peered up at him.
Shadow. A good name. When the shadows are long, that is my time. And you are the long shadow.
She looked him up and down, then she smiled.
You may kiss my hand,
she said, and extended a cold hand to him. Shadow bent down and kissed her thin hand. She had a large amber ring on her middle finger.
Good boy. I am going to buy groceries. You see, I am the only one of us who brings in any money. The other two cannot make money fortune-telling. This is because they only tell the truth. And the truth is not what people want to hear. It is a bad thing. And it troubles people, so they do not come back. But I can lie to them. Tell them what they want to hear. I tell the pretty fortunes. So I bring home the bread. Do you think you will be here for supper?
I would hope so.
Then you had better give me some money to buy more food. I am proud, but I am not stupid. The others are prouder than I am, and he is the proudest of all. So give me money and do not tell them that you give me money.
Wednesday opened his wallet and reached in. He took out a 20. Zoria Vetchernyaya plucked it from his fingers and waited. He took out another 20 and gave it to her.
It's good. We will feed you like princes, like we would feed our own father. Now go up the stairs to the top. Zoria Utrenyaya is awake, but our other sister is still asleep, so do not be making too much noise when you get to the top.
Shadow and Wednesday climbed the dark stairs. The landing 2 stories up was half filled with black plastic garbage bags, and it smelled of rotting vegetables.
Are they gypsies?
Zoria and her family? Not at all. They're not Romanian. They're Russian. Slavs, I believe.
But she does fortune-telling.
Lots of people do fortune-telling. I dabble in it myself.
Wednesday was panting as they went up the final flight of stairs.
I'm out of condition.
The landing at the top of the stairs ended in a single door painted red with a peephole in it. Wednesday knocked at the door. There was no response. He knocked again, louder this time.
Okay, okay, I heard you, I heard you.
The sound of locks being undone, of bolts being pulled, the rattle of a chain. The red door opened a crack.
Who is it?
An old friend, Chernobog, with an associate.
The door opened as far as the security chain would allow. Shadow could see a gray face in the shadows peering out at them.
What do you want, Grimnir?
Initially, simply the pleasure of your company. And I have information to share. What's that phrase? Oh, yes. You may learn something to your advantage.
The door opened all the way. The man in the dusty bathrobe was short, with iron-gray hair and craggy features. He wore gray pinstripe pants, shiny from age, and slippers. He He held an unfiltered cigarette with square-tipped fingers, sucking the tip while keeping it cupped in his fist. Like a convict, thought Shadow, or a soldier. He extended his left hand to Wednesday.
Welcome, then, Grimnir.
They call me Wednesday these days,
he said, shaking the old man's hand. A narrow smile, a flash of yellow teeth.
Yes, very funny. And this is
my associate, Shadow. Meet Mr. Chernabog.
Well met.
He shook Shadow's left hand with his own. His hands were rough and calloused, and the tips of his fingers were as yellow as if they had been dipped in iodine.
How do you do, Mr. Chernabog?
I do old. My guts ache, and my back hurts, and I cough my chest apart every morning.
Why are you standing at the door?
Shadow looked over Chernabog's shoulder at the old woman standing behind him. She was smaller and frailer than her sister, but her hair was long and still golden.
I am Zarya Utrinyaya. You must not stand there in the hall. You must come in, go through to the sitting room, through there. I will bring you coffee. Go in, through there.
Through the doorway into an apartment that smelled like overboiled cabbage and catbox and unfiltered foreign cigarettes, and they were ushered through a tiny hallway, past several closed doors, to the sitting room at the far end of the corridor, and were seated on a huge old horsehair sofa, disturbing an elderly gray cat in the process, who stretched, stood up, and walked stiffly to a distant part of the sofa, where he lay down, warily stared at each of them in turn, then closed one eye and went back to sleep. Chernabog sat in an armchair across from them. Zarya Utrinyaya found an empty ashtray and placed it beside Chernabog.
How you want your coffee?
She asked her guests.
Here we take it black as night, sweet as sin.
That'll be fine, ma'am,
said Shadow. He looked out of the window at the buildings across the street. Zarya Utrinyaya went out. Chernabog stared at her as she left.
That's a good woman, not like your sisters. One of them is a harpy. The other, all she does is sleep.
He put his slippered feet up on a long, low coffee table, a chessboard inset in the middle, cigarette burns and mug rings on its surface.
Is she your wife?
She's nobody's wife.
The old man sat in silence for a moment, looking down at his rough hands.
No, we are all relatives. We come over here together long time ago.
From the pocket of his bathrobe, Chernabog produced a pack of unfiltered cigarettes. Shadow did not recognize the brand. Wednesday pulled out a narrow gold lighter from the pocket of his pale suit and lit the old man's cigarette.
First, we come to New York. All our countrymen go to New York. Then we come out here to Chicago. Everything got very bad. In the old country, they had nearly forgotten me. Here, I am a bad memory no one wants to remember. You know what I did when I got to Chicago?
No.
I get a job in the meat business, on the kill floor. When the steer comes up the ramp, I was a knocker. You know why we are called knockers? It's because we take the sledgehammer and we knock the cow down with it. Bam! It takes strength in the arms, yes? Then the shackler chains the beef up, holds it up, then they cut the throat. They drain the blood first, before they cut the head off. We were the strongest, the knockers.
He pushed up the sleeve of his bathrobe, flexed his upper arm to display the muscles still visible under the old skin.
He's not just strong, though. There was an art to it, to the blow. Otherwise the cow is just stunned or angry. Then in the '50s they give us the bolt gun. You put it to the forehead, bam, bam. Now you think anybody can kill. Not so.
He mimed putting a metal bolt through a cow's head.
It still takes skill.
He smiled at the memory, displaying an iron-colored tooth.
Don't tell them cow-killing stories.
Zarya Utrinyaya carried in their coffee on a red wooden tray. small, brightly enameled cups filled with a brown liquid so dark it was almost black. She gave them each a cup, then sat beside Chernabog.